And if you would, open your Breaking Bread hymnal to page 105. We ask the congregation to respond as their portion of the crowd. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
When the hour came, Jesus took his place at table with the apostles. He said to them,
I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it again until there is fulfillment in the kingdom of God.
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and said,
Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you that from this time on, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
Then he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying,
This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me.
And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying,
This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shared for you. And yet, behold, the hand of the one who has betrayed me is with me on this table. For the Son of Man indeed goes as it has been determined, but woe to the man by whom he is betrayed.
And they began to debate among themselves who among them would do such a deed. Then an argument broke out among them about which of them should be regarded as the greatest. He said to them,
The kings of the Gentiles lord over them, and those in authority over them are dressed as benefactors. But among you, it shall not be so. Rather, let the greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as servant. For who is greater, the one seated at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one seated at the table? I am among you as the one who serves. It is you who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer my kingdom on you, just as my Father has conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you shall sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed that you by your own faith may not fail. And once you have turned back, you must strengthen your brothers.
He said to him,
Lord, I am prepared to go to prison and to die with you.
But he replied,
I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows this day, you will deny me three times that you know me.
He said to them,
When I sent you forth without a money bag or a sack or sandals, were you in need of anything?
No, nothing.
They replied, he said to them,
But now one who has a money bag should take it, and likewise a sack. And one who does not have a sword should sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you this, scripture must be fulfilled in me. Namely, he was counted among the wicked, and indeed it is written about me, is coming to fulfillment.
Then they said,
Lord, look, there are two swords here.
But he replied,
It is enough.
Then going out, he went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them,
Pray that you may not undergo the test.
After withdrawing about a stone's throw from them and kneeling, he prayed, saying,
Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Still, not my will, but yours be done.
And to strengthen him, an angel from heaven appeared to him. He was in such agony, and he prayed so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he rose from prayer and returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping from grief. He said to them,
"Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not undergo the test."
While he was still speaking, a crowd approached, and in front was one of the 12, a man named Judas. He went up to Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said to him,
"Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?"
His disciples realized what was about to happen, and they asked,
"Lord, shall we strike with a sword?"
And one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said in reply,
"Stop, no more of this."
Then he touched the servant's ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and temple guards and elders who had come for him,
"Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? Day after day, I was with you in the temple area, and you did not seize me. But this is your hour, the time of power and darkness."
After arresting him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter was following at a distance. They lit the fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter sat down with them. When a maid saw him seated in the light, she looked intently at him and said,
"This man too was with him."
But he denied it, saying,
"Woman, I do not know him."
A short while later, someone else saw him and said,
"You too are one of them."
But Peter answered,
"My friend, I am not."
About an hour later, still another insisted,
"Assuredly, this man too was with him, for he is also a Galilean."
But Peter said,
"My friend, I do not know what you are talking about."
Just as he was saying this, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times. He went out and began to weep bitterly. The men who held Jesus in custody were ridiculing and beating him. They blindfolded him and questioned him, saying,
"Prophesy, who is that instructor?"
And they reviled him in saying many other things against him. When day came, the council of elders of the people met, both chief priests and scribes, and they brought him before their Sanhedrin. They said,
"If you are the Christ, tell us."
But he replied to them,
"If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question, you will not respond. But from this time on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
They all ask,
"Are you then the Son of God?"
He replied to them,
"You say that I am."
Then they said,
"What further need have we for testimony? We have heard it from his own mouth."
Then the whole assembly of them arose and brought him before Pilate. They brought charges against him, saying,
"We found this man misleading our people. He opposes the payment of taxes to Caesar and maintains that he is the Christ, the King."
Pilate asked him,
"Are you the King of the Jews?"
He said to him in reply,
"You say so."
Pilate then addressed the chief priest and the crowds,
"I find this man not guilty."
But they were adamant and said,
"He is inciting the people with his teaching from Judea, from Galilee."
On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. And upon learning that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very glad to see Jesus. He had been wanting to see him for a long time, for he had heard about him and had been hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at length, but he gave him no answer. The chief priests and scribes, meanwhile, stood by accusing him harshly. Herod and his soldiers treated him contemptuously and mocked him. And after clothing him in resplendent garb, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends that very day, even though they had been enemies formerly. Pilate then summoned the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them,
"You brought this man to me and accused him of inciting the people to revolt. I have conducted my investigation in your presence and have not found this man guilty of the charges you have brought against him, nor did Herod, for he sent him back to us. So no capital crime has been committed by him. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him."
But all together they shouted out,
"Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us."
Now Barabbas had been imprisoned for a rebellion that had taken place in the city and for murder. Again, Pilate addressed them, still wishing to release Jesus, but they continued their shouting,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
Pilate addressed them a third time,
"What evil has this man done? I found him guilty of no capital crime. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him."
With loud shouts, however, they persisted in calling for his crucifixion, and their voices prevailed. The verdict of Pilate was that their demand should be granted. So he released the man who had been imprisoned for rebellion and murder, for whom they asked, and he handed Jesus over to them to deal with as they wished. As they led him away, they took hold of a certain Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country. And after laying the cross on him, they made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed Jesus, including many women who mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children, for indeed, the days are coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' At that time, people will say to the mountains, 'Fall upon us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if these things are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Now two others, both criminals, were led away with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them. They know not what they do."
They divided his garments by casting lots. The people stood by and watched. The rulers, meanwhile, sneered at him and said,
"He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God."
Even the soldiers jeered at him as they approached to offer him wine. They called out,
"If you are a king of the Jews, save yourself."
Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus.
"Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us."
The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply,
"Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. but this man has done nothing criminal."
Then he said,
"Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
He replied to him,
"Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. because of an eclipse of the sun. Then the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Father, into your hands I commend my spirit."
And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion who witnessed what had happened glorified God and said,
"This man was innocent beyond doubt."
When all the people who had gathered for this spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances stood at a distance, including the women who had followed him from Galilee and saw these events. Now, there was a virtuous and righteous man named Joseph, who, though he was a member of the council, had not consented to their plan of action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea and was awaiting the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. After he had taken the body down, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a rock-hewn tomb in which no one had yet been buried. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come from Galilee with him followed behind, and when they had seen the tomb and the way in which his body was laid in it, they returned and prepared spices and perfumed oils. Then they rested on the Sabbath, according to the commandment.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The small house was simple but adequate. It consisted of one large room on a dusty street. Its red tiled roof was one of many in this poor neighborhood on the outskirts of the Brazilian village. It was a comfortable home. Maria and her daughter Christina had done what they could to add color to the gray walls and warmth to the hard dirt floor. Maria's husband died when Christina was an infant, the young mother, stubbornly refusing opportunities to remarry, got a job and set out to raise her young daughter. And now, 15 years later, the worst years were over since Christina was old enough to get a job to help her mom. But Christina had other plans in her mind. She spoke often of going to the city. She dreamed of trading her dusty neighborhood for the exciting avenues and city life. Just the thought of this horrified her mother. Maria was always quick to remind Christina of the harshness of city life. You do not know anyone there. There are many people and jobs are scarce. And besides, you are 15. What would you do for a living? Maria knew exactly what Christina would have to do for a living. Her heart broke when she awoke one morning to find her daughter's bed empty. Maria knew right away what had happened. But she hoped that she was wrong and Christina would walk into the house any moment. A few days went by and no Christina. Maria realized that she had to go and find her. One day, she threw her clothes in a bag, gathered up all her money, and ran out of the house. On her way to the bus stop, she entered the drugstore to get one last thing, pictures. She sat in the photo booth, closed the curtain, and spent all she could on pictures of herself. With her purse full of small black and white photos, she boarded the next bus to Rio de Janeiro. Maria knew what will happen to beautiful young girls in the big city. She also knew that her daughter was too stubborn to give up. So Maria began her search in bars, hotels, nightclubs, and the poor areas of the city. She went to them all. And at each place, she left her picture taped on a bathroom mirror, tacked to a hotel bulletin board, fastened to a corner phone booth. And on the back of each photo, she wrote a note. It wasn't too long before the money and pictures ran out, and Maria had to go home. The weary mother wept as the bus began its long journey back to her village. One day, a few weeks later, as young Christina descended the hotel stairs, her young face was tired, her brown eyes no longer sparkled with joy, but spoke of pain and fear. Her dream has become a nightmare. As she reached the bottom of the stairs, her eyes noticed a familiar face. She looked again, and there on the bulletin board was a small picture of her mother. Christina's eyes burned and her throat tightened as she walked across the room and removed the small photo. Written on the back were these words: "Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. I love you. Please come home." You might be wondering, what did Jesus had to go through all this suffering and this pain and die for us on the cross? He did it so that every time we look at a crucifix, we see the face of God, the face of Jesus in human body. And hopefully we hear the words, "No matter what you have done, no matter what you have become, it doesn't matter. I love you. Come home."